What is the upskies, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the GX Gamercast. We're on episode 166 of my little gaming show, where once a week I just has to talk about video games, whether they're new video games that I'm playing today, old video games that I grew up with, it doesn't matter, video games. And today we're doing a list, and we're talking the scariest, 13 more of the scariest enemies in video games, in my humble opinion. You can try and track down the first episode that I did of this, last October I did the first scariest enemies episode, so you can check that one out, discussing some scary as fuck enemies. And I just was looking through some of my lists, and I seen that I had an incomplete part two of this list, so I finished it off, added in some more scary characters, and that is what we're going to be talking about today. So I always encourage you, the viewer, the listener, let me know what your scariest enemies in video games are. Who are the ones that give you nightmares? What are the enemies that you still think about today? And also, let me know what you're playing. What games are you playing right now? You playing anything scary? Let me know. I think Little Nightmares 3 just came out. Not the best reviews. I was hoping it would be reviewed a little bit higher than that, but it's still in the 70s on Metacritic, which isn't bad, so it's just not as good as I was hoping it was going to be. But if anyone's gotten their hands on that, especially played it co-op, let me know if you enjoyed it. And still asking, what are your scariest movies of all time? Let me know what's the scariest movie you've ever watched. I've probably already seen it, but I am always down for new horror movie recommendations. Hit me with them. All right. So, let us discuss what I have been up to over the last week or so before we dive into the list. So, I watched a couple more horror movies here. So, we got Until Dawn. So, I watched that one based on the video game, and I would say loosely based on the video game, because I played the video game a couple of times now. I have a Let's Play of it on my YouTube channel. You can check out the link below, follow the YouTube channel, subscribe and all that great stuff, because you're awesome. And yeah, it was a fine movie. It just really didn't do a lot for the video game. So the big difference is that the movie is a Groundhog Day situation. These people are coming back to life and trying again night after night to try and survive until dawn. Ooh, they said the name. They totally say the name in the movie. That's a thing. But it was all right. I did enjoy the kills of the movie. There were some fantastical kills early on. Like a homie gets a little bit of spoilers here, but homie gets a thing jabbed through his eye. That was really gruesome. And it's cool because they have like bruises and marks when they come back to life the next day from their previous injuries. So they're getting like, as the days are going, they're getting more and more fucked up. And there's a girl in this movie, she gets particularly fucked up. Like, she seems to get the most gruesome deaths. She had her head smashed in, she had like pieces of her body exploding. And talking about exploding, oh man. So I was Stony Baloney when I was watching this movie, and like really high. So I was like, there's a part where they drink water and the water makes them explode. And once they took a drink of that water and realized that, oh shit, it's like poison or whatever, it's making us explode, I just finished drinking a Dr. Pepper and my tummy was like rumbly because, you know, all the carbonation. I don't drink a lot of pop, so my body doesn't really like it all the time. So I was like kind of getting a stomach ache, and I was like, oh my goodness, am I about to explode? Is this Dr. Pepper gonna kill me? So I was like having a little bit of a panic attack, but felt really uncomfortable during that scene when they were just exploding, especially the girl, because she started exploding like piece by piece. Like her leg goes, then her arm goes, and she's like, oh God, what's happening? And then she just goes. There was also, I'm just going full spoilers in this movie, my apologies if you haven't seen it, but there's a great scene where they drink the water on purpose to try and explode and take out one of the enemies. Brilliant. It doesn't work, but it was a smart idea. I really enjoyed that. What I didn't like about the movie was the characters. No real good characters in the movie that I could really get behind. The only one that was somewhat interesting was like the one girl's boyfriend, like really new boyfriend, so he's not really tight with the friend group. He comes in, he's all like, oh, let's sacrifice this bitch, and like, we'll do this, and I'm getting the hell out of here. He was all right, but not a lot going on with the characters. Not a lot of scares, really. Like, there was one jump scare I remember that got my wife. But me, I was fine, aside from feeling uncomfortable when everyone started exploding. But it was a fine movie, like I said. Doesn't really do a lot with the video game. So the main enemy that you're dealing with in Until Dawn is a Wendigo, and there is a Wendigo in this movie. It's not seen a whole lot, but it's there, so they have that. They also have the weird, like, narrator guy. He's kind of there, and they leave a pretty... I like the way that the movie ended. I did, anyway. My wife wasn't a fan of the way that it ended, but I thought it was pretty neat. Do I highly recommend it? No, but if you are even if you're a fan of Until Dawn, like I said, it doesn't, there's no actors like from Until Dawn in it. They don't have that Rami guy in there. So I don't know, like the characters didn't do a lot for me. If you like good, like I'm not going to call them epic kills, but like some pretty good kills. There's a lot of good kills in this movie, a lot of death. So if you're into that, you should check it out. But other than that, I'm hitting it with a 6.5 out of 10. It was solid. I'm not going to sit there and, oh, you have to sit down and watch Until Dawn. If you find the time for it, it's not a bad movie. It's not a great movie. It's somewhere in the middle. It was fine. And then we checked out The Conjuring 2, since we watched The Conjuring 1 the last week, so we decided to jump into The Conjuring 2, and you can definitely tell, like, right off the bat, they had much more budget with this movie, because there's a lot more going on with it, a lot more special effects, a lot more, you're seeing creatures a lot more than you do in The Conjuring 1. Conjuring 1, that's what makes horror movies, to me, more scary. The lower the budget is, the more creative they have to get, the more interesting practical effects they have to use. I get lost when this one felt like a blockbuster, you know, a summer blockbuster horror movie, which just didn't really jive with me. It was still a good movie, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it. There were a couple of good jump scares. This one is revolved on the true story from Britain. There was the haunting there that these people, Ed and Lorraine Warren, dealt with that one as well. Another one of their more prominent exorcisms that they did in their careers. These are real people, and these movies are based off of their, you know, their events, their experiences with the paranormal activities and stuff like that. So it's, I love movies that are based off of reality. So even though it's loosely based, and obviously they take things, you stretch them out a little bit, obviously, for the movie, but it was good. There was a lot more action, I would say, to it, less horror, I would say. It's not like a straight up action movie, but there's just a lot more actiony scenes that made me feel like, okay, this is a bigger budget. They got more stuff getting thrown into it that I feel like just kind of takes away from what I thought was pretty haunting about the original. It was sort of basic. You're just in a house, like you're in a house, and I think, yeah, you're in a house in this one. But I don't know, it just wasn't as effective. I would hit it with a 7 out of 10. It was good, but I prefer The Conjuring 1 over The Conjuring 2, and that's generally how it goes with all movie sequels, right? Like, generally, the original is better. Very rarely is a sequel better than the original movie when it comes to movies. Video games, totally different thing. The sequels generally get better and better, but anyway, that's something for a different day. But checked out The Conjuring 2, and that one's definitely worth a watch. The Conjuring series, absolutely. It spawned tons of other movies. You got Annabelle, you got, I believe, The Nun is another series based off of this, because they have this nun running around in The Conjuring 2, and I'm like, all right, I think I've seen you before. I think there's like 2 movies in the Nun series now, and same thing with Annabelle. I think there's 2 of those as well. So it spawned multiple series of movies as well. So there's a lot to take in this world if you want to get into it, and they're all pretty good. Like, I believe I've watched Annabelle. It was good. I did not like it, so it was fine. I have not checked out The Nun yet. And correct me if I'm wrong, if that is in the same universe as The Conjuring, I believe it is, because it looked an awful lot like the Nun in the movie. So anyway, worth a checkout for sure. This one was on Crave, so you can check those movies out on Crave if you have it. I would recommend it. 7. And let's talk about some video games that I've been playing. Got Battlefield 6, and oh buddy, I've been playing me some Battlefield 6. It's a good time. I'm having a good time with it so far. Now, the people haven't gotten egregious yet online, and they haven't ruined the game yet, which is good. So I'm going to play as much Battlefield as I can before that inevitably happens, once all the YouTubers get on there and they're like, here's how to break the game, here's all the game-breaking glitches, and let's ruin everything. Ah, every freaking time. So that's inevitably going to happen, and the community's going to get ruined, but hopefully that doesn't happen. You know, Battlefield's a different community from Call of Duty. I will admit, It's mostly just been me and the homie Kyle playing, just me and him. Haven't really gotten into a big squad just yet. I'm waiting to link up with a couple of people at work, and we can kind of get a bigger group going. So Kyle and I just kind of spent our times in the smaller maps, which feels an awful lot like Call of Duty. Not necessarily a bad thing. That's just, it was more of for me to get eased into it because I'm not good at the big map stuff yet. Very fresh to Battlefield. This is my first modern Battlefield that I've ever played. The only other Battlefield I played was Battlefield 1. Absolutely loved that game. I adored it. That was my first true Battlefield that I bought and played. Played the shit out of it. Loved it. Yes, there were some things I wish were more modern in that game, but I really, really adored Battlefield 1. And the only other one that I played was Battlefield 3. I only played the beta. And I had a great time with the beta, and like I've said this numerous times, couldn't convince the other homies to put down Call of Duty and try out Battlefield 3. Think that was a missed boat on our part, because, man, that Battlefield 3 and 4 and all that shit, that would have been good times with the homies back in the day, but we were all still too addicted to Call of Duty, so that is the way that she goes. But Battlefield 6, I would say, it looks great. I'm loving the destruction, the destructibility of the world. Like, unlike in Call of Duty, like, if you have a guy that's just being annoying, camping in the same corner, sometimes there's nothing you can really do about it. He's in a spot in Battlefield, fuck, blow up the wall, fucking blow him up. Like, you can do a lot of creative stuff. And there's, like, some really unique, like, I was blown away that the assault class has a ladder. I was like, a ladder? What the fuck are you gonna do with a ladder? And, like, you can use it on any building, pretty much. You can ladder up into a window if someone's up there, you think, or you just want a creative way to get into a building a different way. If a team is hunkered down, you can just fucking pop a ladder in a window and climb on up. And I've seen people using it in very creative ways, like stacking it on top of a bus, and you get up on a building, you're like, what the fuck? There's parachutes. Yeah, dude, it's wild. There's vehicles, obviously. That's the big difference between Battlefield and Call of Duty. Battlefield uses vehicles. You got tanks and jets and helicopters. I saw a clip of a guy flying a helicopter, just batshit crazy, flying it through tunnels and just dodging things, doing barrel rolls in a freaking helicopter. I'm like, man, you PC people are a different breed, but good on you. Other than that, we played, I got Jesse to come on. We played, we had a four-party group, and we got into some of the bigger maps, not the big ones, but the big, like the, I guess, medium size, we'll call them, and that was pretty good. You know, there was some fun sniping opportunities that we had. The homie Jesse went like 30-3, like absolutely went on a tear with the sniper, and I'm like, damn, dude, he's on PC, so he's got that benefit of being on PC, but still, I was very impressed with that one. I suck at Battlefield, I'm not good. I had a couple of good games. Like, I had the game of my life where I was the top scorer. I was just wrecking it. I was doing great on the objectives. I was getting a bunch of kills, not a lot of deaths. And that only happened like twice. Only had a really good game a couple of times here. Mostly just kind of staying. I just want to win. That's all I want. I want to win. And I've been winning a lot more than I've been losing. So that's good with me. Other than that, man, I'm enjoying Battlefield a lot. Really itching to play some right now. I'm just waiting for the homie Kyle to get home from work. And then hopefully we can hop on and play some more Battlefield. Because it's a lot of fun. It really, really is. I'm enjoying myself. I have been getting frustrated. There's some, like, you know, there's some nitpicks for sure. I don't know if I'm going to do an episode on Battlefield. I have to play it a little bit more. Probably put in a dozen or so hours. I'm not sure how much. Probably not even that much. I'm level 20, I think, which is like the cap on the beta. So I'm around there. I'm plugging around. I played the first mission in the campaign. It put me to sleep. I'm not going to lie. It was very, very generic. But I'm not going to, you know, tap out on the campaign just because the first mission was very, very generic. You know, hoorah, let's go. Ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, oh man, really? We doing this? Like, you're not even going to put me in a cool vehicle. Like, that's what I'm expecting out of Battlefield. Like, I want some awesome vehicle levels. I want to be in a fighter jet. I want to be doing bomb runs. Like, I want to do something different. I don't want to just be in firefights and just moving my way forward through the levels and just getting to checkpoint to checkpoint. That's how the first level went down. Not impressed. And I heard the campaign's very short. Kyle's friend Parker, he beat it already. He said it was good, and he's going to go through it and play it again on a harder difficulty. So that's encouraging. So I want to give it a try when I get some time. Other than that, been playing a lot of Hades 2. Oh, buddy. Loving Hades 2. Still looking for that review. I'm eyeing up Halloween. Halloween, I hope I can have it recorded and done, have played enough to confidently give you a good review for Hades 2. I haven't even, like, beaten the game yet, so I still need to... I'm struggling on the final bosses of the game right now, but I'll get there. It's all part of the grind of Hades, but I will get there. And once I do, then I'll probably feel a lot more comfortable to give it a full review, just so I can see what the ending kind of looks like. I know there's a lot more to the ending, but... absolutely loving Hades 2. It is exactly what the doctor ordered. I have been waiting and waiting for this sequel forever. I've been hearing about the early access stuff and just ignoring it. And now it's finally here. I'm playing it on Switch 1. And if you are curious, yes, it runs just dandy on Switch 1. I am having zero problems. Performance-wise, it's doing fantastic. So if you don't have a Switch 2, don't worry about it. You can get the Switch 1 version. It's just dandy. All right. So let's get into it. Let's talk some scary enemies. Let's poop our pants and get a little scared. Let's do this. We got 13 and maybe a bonus or two. 13 scariest enemies. Let's do this time. Ooh, good. That music just, that puts a pit in my stomach, that soundtrack. Just, oh, that is Animal Well, by the way. But anyway, let us get into the list. The 13 scariest enemies, about deux, that is the number two in français. En français means in French. All right, so let's get into this list. And I'm going to start off with a game that I have not played yet, but it's something I know, I just have to talk about it, because I know of this enemy. I know it's so scary that I haven't played the game yet, because I know it's just going to be an absolute shit-my-pants fest, because this thing is the epitome of what scares the hell out of me in video games. It hunts you, it tracks you down, it's smart as hell, and it's terrifying. And that enemy is, of course, the Xenomorph, aka the Alien, from Alien Isolation. Oh, buddy. I've been avoiding this game like the plague. I know I need to play it, hear nothing but great things about it, and I want to see this AI, I want to see what this Xenomorph is all about, but not really, because I'm absolutely terrified. It's all the things that terrify me the most in video games. Getting chased, getting hunted, this thing fucking is smart as hell, it probably already knows where the hell I am at all times, can't hide, can't run, can't fight it. Oh boy. That's just, that is the formula for me making poo-poo into old pantalones. So I don't like that, but I want to get to it at some point. If the homie Kyle is brave enough to dive into that game, though he didn't finish it, I expect not a lot of people have finished Alien Isolation that has started it, because fucking scary. So I want to give it a shot, see what it's all about. Hopefully I could finish it. I would not be shocked if I do not. Rather, A, it's just too damn scary, or B, I get lost and don't want to deal with it anymore. That's usually one of two things that will put a final nail in the horror coffin for some of these video games. But I have to acknowledge the Xenomorph, the Alien, as it would probably be number one if I actually played this game. Now, these aren't in any particular order. There's, like, the ones at the top definitely are at the top for a reason, because they scared the bejesus out of me. But this is just a list of many scary enemies. So number one on this list is the Xenomorph. Well, not number one. Whatever. The first one we're talking about is the Xenomorph. If you've played Alien Isolation on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the scariest, 1 being not that scary at all, what is the Xenomorph? How scary is Alien Isolation? Hit me with that number as we go to number 13. Lucky number 13's going to Resident Evil 4 / Resident Evil 5 / Resident Evil 6. Is there a chainsaw guy in Resident Evil 6? Anyway, number 13 is the chainsaw-wielding guys from Resident Evil. Which one is scarier in your opinion? The one from 4 or the one from 5? I think the one from 5 is more unsettling. He's grosser looking. The sack on his head is like tied really badly with a rope and shit. He's got like that one creepy eye looking out on it. And I remember everybody playing the Resident Evil 5 demo when it came out, and dealing with the chainsaw guy was part of the demo. And you go up these long stairway, you just know something's gonna happen, and you get up to this gate and brum, brum, ring, 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 ring. You're just like, oh no, here it comes. And yes, I will give the benefit of the doubt, or I don't even think that's the right saying I want to use right now, but I'll give the benefit to Resident Evil 4 because the game is not co-op. I definitely was not as scared having a friend with me, or even just an AI person with me, anyone. As long as someone's with me, I won't be as scared, but I would have to admit the design of the Resident Evil 5 chainsaw guy is scarier than Resident Evil 4. Resident Evil 4 just kind of looks like a burly man with a burly sap, a burlap sack, if you will, on his head. And yeah, he's pretty unsettling too. Like, you don't want to get hit by this chainsaw guy. And is it ever pucker butthole when this guy is near you? And you can hear him swinging that thing right behind you. You're like, holy shit, that was close. That is some tight butthole situation. That's tight butthole gameplay right there at its best. And Resident Evil delivers that with the chainsaw granado. Is that what the hell those things are called? I couldn't even tell you anymore. I have so much. I'm at that age now where I'm packing information in my head, and old information is falling out the other side. So, you know, you don't just get smarter and smarter. You start to lose things, right? So, I should be doing better at that. But anyway, let's move on this list with one of the most recent, actually the most recent entry on this list for me is Silent Hill 2's The Pyramid Head. Oh, arguably top five most iconic horror enemies of all time, maybe even top three. This thing is so cool, yet so scary. Now, it doesn't scare me very much anymore because, well, I imagine I'm very excited to see what goes down in Silent Hill 2 Remake with Pyramid Head. I want it to rejuvenate Pyramid Head because Pyramid Head in PS2, on the original PS2 Silent Hill, it's not that scary. It's definitely unsettling, but it's not that bad. The most unsettling part for me when I played Silent Hill 2 was when it was like the one part I didn't know about and was very early in the game. I just went up a set of stairs in the motel, I believe I was in, or might have been the hospital. It doesn't matter. But I was there and he was just standing there, like on the other side of this gate. We couldn't interact with each other. We couldn't get to each other, but it was still very unsettling that it was just sitting there watching me. And I was like, whoa. I have never seen this scene before. I've never seen that. I've watched numerous videos on YouTube about Silent Hill 2. I've seen pretty much every cutscene with Pyramid Head. I've seen the scenes from the movie with Pyramid Head where he just rips the skin off of a person with one hand. Like, I was like, oh my God, that is absolutely insane. Question, is the Silent Hill movie worth watching? I've seen it on one of the streaming things, and I was like, I wonder if that would be a good watch. I heard it's okay, not really good or anything, but I'm curious, is it worth a watch? Let me know. Anyway, Pyramid Head, so iconic. I love the design of this guy, just kind of buff dude with a massive butcher's knife. We're talking like Cloud Strife level of size of knife. This thing is not, it's a broad fucking sword. It is a buster sword. This thing is massive, and it's intimidating. Until you fight him. Once you fight him and realize that he can barely swing the damn thing, it's not that terrifying. But, you know, I'm going to chalk that up to old game is old. They can only do so much with the limitations that they had of the PS2 at the time. I imagine he is much more terrifying in the more recent update of Silent Hill 2, the remake version. So, again, I haven't played it, so I don't know how terrifying it is. But it was still pretty freaky dealing with the OG Pyramid Head in Silent Hill 2. There is a point in the game, spoilers if you don't want to know, but you do have to fight two Pyramid Heads at the same time. And that would have been a lot scarier if not for the massive room they put you in. Now, I did complain about the smallness of the room the first time you fight Pyramid Head, because it is really small, and it doesn't give you a lot of room for error. But in the dual fight, they give you so much space. I mean, they pretty much have to. And the thing that sucks about that fight is he's not even equipped with his big, broad sword thing. He's got a spear, which is less intimidating. Spears are just not as scary as a big, giant, bloody buster knife sword thing. So, Pyramid Head, I don't know what his deal is. He's doing some very questionable things at times with mannequins. You know, having sexual relations with them, and I don't like that, and it's creepy, and I walked in on him. That's probably why he was upset in the first place. He was getting it on with a mannequin, caught you red-handed, and I'm gonna tell everybody about it, and now Pyramid Head is out for blood, so don't do that. Don't get on the bad side of Pyramid Head, because it's a bad time. Definitely worthy of being on this list. Absolute. Now that I've actually dealt with him, so for sure. Up next, we have Bloodborne, and there is numerous things I could have picked from Bloodborne. That whole game is terrifying. Pretty much every enemy in that game is terrifying, but the one that terrified me the most and first, there's other ones that are scarier to me now, and we'll save that for another list another day, but I'm going to start with Vicar Amelia. I believe that is the cleric beast, but that's her name is Vicar Amelia. Horrifying. This thing is ginormous. It's probably 20 fucking feet tall. This giant skull fucking deer thing with antlers and giant teeth and just soulless. I don't even know if it has eyes, but it's definitely soulless looking. And it's terrifying. It's got this long hair that's floating around, just looking very unnatural. And she's got these long hind legs. She's like bound up in this fucking bandage shit. She looks absolutely horrifying. She's long and lanky. She's fast, and just all the nightmare fuel put together, and you got the cleric beast. That thing is terrifying. I remember being so scared to fight it. It's not even the hard, it's definitely not the hardest boss in that game, but in terms of fear, it definitely has an intimidation factor for me personally, because that thing is terrifying. It just looks freaky. It moves so unnaturally. That's a big thing that freaks me out. If you move unnaturally, I'm freaked out by that. So yeah, Vicar Amelia, aka the Cleric Beast, burn in hell, because you are absolutely terrifying. And here's a bonus for you. Since we're on the topic of Bloodborne, I also had to throw in the Bagman. I don't know if that's what he's actually called, but he is like 8 feet tall. He looks like the Grim Reaper. He's just got this cloak on. You can't see his face, but he's got this sack on his back, and he is the opposite of Santa Claus. There's nothing good in that sack. It is nothing but doom, and if he gets close to you, he will suck you up in that sack, and he'll send you to the Shadow Realm where you do not want to be. And I got sent there, and it really fucked me up, man. I was like, oh, geez. I was playing with a guide, and I got sucked in there. Was not supposed to get sucked up in there, and I had to jump like 10, 15 parts in this guide. I was like, oh no, this is going to be so much harder than it needs to be. So I am terrified of the Bagman in Bloodborne. I don't want to get sucked up. Don't want to be anywhere near that fucking guy. He is dangerous. And that is just one of the many nightmare-fueled creatures that are in Bloodborne. We will now move on from Bloodborne. We will go now to Little Nightmares 2. Now, Little Nightmares 2 also has a couple of things we can talk about here. Let's start with the mannequins. Oh, man. So these things are freaky. I hate mannequins. I fucking hate them. They're just unnatural. Ew. They always look like they're going to come alive. 9 times out of 10, when I see a mannequin in a store, I think it's a real person. I'm like, oh, look at that weird. Oh, it's a mannequin. Damn it. I got tricked. I've been duped. But the mannequins in Little Nightmares 2 are very unsettling. You know they're going to be, you know they're a problem the second you see them. They're standing there, they got like lights on them, you know they're going to come to life, they're going to start moving. And when they do, my tummy drops, my butthole puckers, and I'm like, oh no, I don't like this, this is ungood. And they move very unnaturally. Some of them don't have limbs, some of them are crawling around, some don't have heads, some are kind of like the fucking mannequins from Silent Hill 2, where they're just two sets of legs. It's fucked up. They're chasing you. And in Little Nightmares 2, if these guys get you, you're fucking toast. You're Dunyan Rings. So you don't want to get caught by the mannequins. They're a bad, bad time. And since we're still on the topic of Little Nightmares 2, I got to talk about the teacher. The teacher from Little Nightmares 2 is, in my opinion, the scariest enemy in that game, because she is just very intimidating. You get into this classroom and you have to like sneak around, and she can hear very, very well. So if you make any noises, she's gonna like smash this ruler down on one of the tables. She's gonna turn around, and she is just unnaturally scary. She is very terrifying looking. If you've ever had a teacher that kind of scared you, I had a teacher in grade 3. She was very short. I think I was taller than her in grade 3. She was a very short woman, but she took all that shortness and just honed it into anger towards children, because she was a very mean teacher. And I probably had nightmares about her, and this drubbed up those feelings again. Like, oh no, dealing with a teacher that you just don't like or you don't get along with and you got to deal with them all year, that just creates a lot of anxiety. And that's what it felt like dealing with this teacher times like 10, because holy crap, this thing is terrifying. And just when you think you're safe, she elongates her neck, and she can stretch her neck up into the ceilings where you're hiding, trying to get away from her, and she's looking up there, and you're just, oh God, please don't see me, please don't see me. It is horrifying. I do not like the teacher in Little Nightmares 2. That game, overall, pretty scary. Not the scariest. Like, I still think the Dead Spaces and the Resident Evils are scarier, but if you have not checked out Little Nightmares, I did episodes on them last October, played them both, Little Nightmares 1 and 2, really liked them both. Really excited for Little Nightmares 3. Again, if you've played it, let me know if it's worth buying or not, because I would love to play it. I would love to play that with my wife. I heard there's co-op for it. They made the whole game revolve around co-op, which I understand takes away from the horror, but if it's fun, it's fun. So I would like to know, is it fun to play co-op? Let us go to the next. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay, I got you. So this is an oldie. This is going back to my childhood. I thought this was something else. So we have the T-Rex from Jurassic Park, the video game on Super Nintendo. So I played this game when I was a very young man, very, very young. Like, we're talking some of my earliest video game memories. This game was here, and this one I avoided because it's a scary-ass video game, and it's hard as hell. Like most Super Nintendo games at the time that I was playing, way too hard for me. But playing Jurassic Park, man, there is a, I'm pretty sure there's a first-person section in there in the game as well. I have not played this game since I was a small child, so forgive me if I'm not remembering correctly, but I'm pretty sure there is a first-person section in the game, and that section is terrifying as well, but I don't remember it that well. What I do remember is just walking around Jurassic Park, just minding my own business, just hanging out in a forest, just walking around, then out of fucking nowhere is a T-Rex that just jumps out of the forest and starts kicking you and biting you and attacking you, and it kills you 9 times out of 10. Not a good time. Scared the hell out of me when I was a child. Oh, buddy, that I completely forgot about that one. I thought I was talking about the T-Rex from Tomb Raider, which I believe was on the first list. Also a Tyrannosaurus Rexes, man, they're pretty fucking scary. They're huge. They have cute little arms, but that don't let that shake you. Don't laugh at that, because they will fuck you up with their big face and all that stuff. But the T-Rex from freaking Jurassic Park on Super Nintendo absolutely horrified me as a child. And speaking of nightmares, let's go back to the nightmare fuel of Dead Space 2. I called these guys the Slender Necromorphs because they kind of remind me of Slender Man, but they're actually called Dividers, the Dividers or whatever from Dead Space 2. Horrifying! Oh my goodness. So like I said, they kind of look like Slender Man. They're really tall, they're really lanky, they have these really long arms, really long legs, and they just kind of stand up straight, and it's the movement that throws me off on these guys. They move around really freakily, and I don't like it. Look it up. And I'm pretty sure they also make a horrifying wailing sound, which is not ideal. Like, I don't think it's like that at all, but I tried. I tried my best. I don't know, but those Dividers, man, I don't like long, lanky enemies that can, like, outreach and, like, extend their arms or their face or their neck or their mouth that has another mouth inside which spits acid. I'm talking to you, alien. Fucking alien. But the Dividers in Dead Space 2 absolutely horrified me. I'm pretty sure they make a horrifying sound, and that's another thing that just, if you can create a sound that puts that pit in my stomach, that just makes my tummy drop, and you're like, ooh, that's unnatural, that's unsettling, you definitely earn a spot on this list. But the Dividers in Dead Space 2, horrifying. Let's go to Resident Evil. Let's talk Resident Evil 8 Village. And if you played that game, you probably know where I'm going with this one. It's the baby. The big, gross baby. Oh, man. So I will admit, the baby section didn't hit as hard for me because someone told me about it before I played the game. They're like, oh, there's this fucking big gross baby that you're going to have to deal with. Now, if I didn't know that and I was in that section, this fucking tumor baby thing, it is a massive, there's no way this thing is a fetus. It is massive. It's like the size of a small car, and it's terrifying. It's really, it's the freakiest looking thing in the game. Maybe, no, I don't know. There's not much else that's freakier than that baby. And the worst thing is getting eaten alive by it. It is horrifying. You got to experience the whole thing live. It's eating you. You're screaming. It's going ha ha ha. And you're getting sucked down into its gullet. It's just fucking awful. So that baby can go to hell. It's chasing you. the thing that makes it not the scary, it's not the fastest thing. So it's kind of easy. You can just kind of leave it in the dust, do your thing, just keep your eye on it, make sure that it's not creeping up too close to you. And if, like I said, if it does, you're going to get eaten alive. And that's got to be one of the worst ways to go, is to just be consumed alive and then digested. I guess that's the next sequence in that equation, is to get digested, then shat out. Now, that's just awful. I don't want any of that to happen to anybody. So I don't want to deal with that baby. That baby was terrifying. But it would have been a lot better if I didn't have that one spoiled. So if I spoiled that one for anyone, I apologize. Let's move to the next creature on the list. This one I couldn't believe I missed the first time on my first list, but the clickers from The Last of Us. Oh my god, those things are fucking terrifying. I hate them. They're terrifying in the TV show. I think they did a really good job at capturing how unsettling and just how big of a deal they are. Like, they are bad news. They are bad news bears. You do not want to deal with them. And I am a big fan of creatures that are blinded, but they have an extremely good sense of hearing, and that is what the clicker has. You can walk right next to it and have the tightest of butthole sequences, but as long as it doesn't hear you, it can't see you, so you can get really close to them. And you generally will have to, if you want to take one down, you got to do it quietly or it's going to be a bad time. And clickers are just horrifying. If you don't know what they are, they're kind of like, well, they're like zombies, but that have a mold growing on their face. It's a bad time. They have fungus. I imagine they stink. It's probably just all around awful. They have terrible dental hygiene and all that stuff. But that's what makes a great scary character. All right. After that, we have the Crimson Heads from Resident Evil 1, the remake, because they're not in the original game. This is a new enemy that they added, and it's nightmare fuel. I can only imagine the first time someone who was like a veteran of Resident Evil 1, the OG, like, oh yeah, I know this game back and forth, I can play it blindfolded. Well, cue in the Crimson Heads, because that is something they added in to scare the fucking shit out of you in Resident Evil, because these things will spawn out of what you thought were dead zombies. You think it's dead, you might come back a couple of times, it's still not moving, but it's still there, and then one of these times it's gonna pop up and it'll start running at you, and they are horrifying. They are the scariest thing in Resident Evil 1. In my opinion, they're just horrifying. They run after you, which is the worst. I hate that they run. Their zombies are not supposed to run. They're supposed to go and stumble towards you. And no, this thing fucking runs at you at full speed. It's terrifying. I hate it. It's especially terrifying because of the weird camera that you got to deal with in the old school Resident Evil games. And sometimes you're running forward, then the camera changes and you let go of the button just a little bit. Next thing you know, you're running right towards it. You're like, oh, fuck. And they're powerful. They are very powerful. It takes a lot of ammo, a lot of gunpowder to take them down, and they do hella damage. I feel like it's like two hits and your fucking dungeon rings are going to chop your head off. Crimson Heads can go to hell. They are absolutely horrifying. I don't like them. And up next, we have another fairly recent entry on the list, and this is from Animal Well. We have the Manticore. Now, this thing has that pit-dropping music that plays whenever it's there, and this thing just hunts you. It is an entity, very scary-looking entity. I think it changes forms. It has, like, a couple of forms. I don't know. I can't really remember much about Animal Well other than this Manticore thing, but it just comes on the screen. It's got that terrifying music, and you really can't do... I think the only thing that works on you, you have to shoot fireworks at it. That's the only thing that keeps this thing away from you. Other than that, it is on you like white on rice. I'm just a very generic saying right there, and this game is underratedly really freaky. I was looking up some videos of it to try and remember what the hell was going on with the Manticore, and they showed off some other enemies. This game is unsettling, man. There's that ostrich is also pretty freaky. It's lanky, it's long, and it does a very similar thing that the teacher does, is that it uses its long neck and it reaches down into the hole to chase after you, and you're like just barely can get away from it. You're like, oh geez, and you get a really tight butthole. But the Manticore does a lot of things that scare the hell out of me. It chases you, it hunts you. For a lot of the time, I don't think you could damage it. All you can do is run, and that scares the hell out of me. So the Manticore absolutely earns a spot on this list. And we're already at the final. We're already here. Fast one for you. But the final one is Resident Evil 7, Marguerite Baker. That bitch. That freaking bitch. She scared the hell out of me probably about 5 times. The worst one, the absolute worst one. If you want to watch it in its entirety, I have a Let's Play of it on the YouTube channel. My whole playthrough of Resident Evil 7. I also did Resident Evil 8. And I think that's all the Resident Evils that I've done on there. I would love to do Resident Evil 4 remake, Resident Evil 2 remake. I could probably do that pretty confidently now. I've gone through that game a couple of times. Would love to do that. Maybe someday. I want to get back to recording some stuff on the YouTube channel. Some gameplays and stuff like that. Some Let's Plays. Because they're fun. Since I'm doing less podcasting, I have a little bit of extra time to do some other stuff like that. So that would be fun to revisit that. And it also gives me an excuse to replay Resident Evil. So anyway, Marguerite Baker. There is a part where you're walking through the house and you go up this little step. And I've gone up those steps like dozens of times at this point in the game, gone through there so many times. And this one particular time you go up there and Marguerite just pops around the corner and says, hello. And that was 11 out of 10 scare. That took 2 years off my life. I jumped. I panicked. It was not a good time. Just when you think you're getting comfortable with the game and you're, oh, I'm starting to understand the layout. Oh, I know where to go. Boom, they hit you with a random jump scare like that that just fucking puts you right back in your place. And not to mention her boss fight is absolutely diabolical. She turns into this horrifying spider creature thing and she is hunting you in this house. She is in the ceiling, she's on the walls, she's fucking everywhere. It's dark, it's scary, it is still, in my opinion, the scariest game that I have played to date is Resident Evil 7. From front to back, that game scared the fuck out of me. The first person really did it. Like, putting that game in first person was genius to unlocking a new level of horror. I can't imagine playing this game in VR. Like, bless the people that have has the stomach to do that, to play a Resident Evil in virtual reality. That just sounds just insane to me. Like, I'd probably die of a heart attack playing it, honestly. Like, if I experienced that scene live on a VR headset, the VR headset would be broken. I would be broken. Fucking anything within a 10 meter radius of me would be broken because I'd just be throwing haymakers at nothing. Just what? What the fuck? Jeez. So anyway, Marguerite is horrifying. A lot of enemies in that game are horrifying. I mean, Jack is also pretty unsettling, but his sequences are more action-packed, like the fight in the garage where he's driving a car around in this way too small of a garage, and he's doing burnouts and shit. Amazing. So cool. But Marguerite, for my money, she's the scariest bitch. She's the baddest bitch in town. She is a nasty customer, and I do not look forward to ever having to deal with her again. Someday, I'll probably replay Resident Evil 7 to see if my fear management has gotten any better, but damn, dude. Marguerite freaked the shit out of me, and that's the list, everybody. A little bit of a shorter episode, but I think that's okay. I've had some longer episodes in the past, so let's give you a shorter one. But let me know, what are the enemies that absolutely terrified you growing up or whenever? It doesn't matter. You can get scared as an adult. People, I get scared. I get scared all the time, but I just try not to tell people that. I'm constantly in a state of fear. But it's, don't worry about it. Anyway, let me know what scared the hell out of you. Did any of these, do you have any of the same things on your list? Did Marguerite scare the hell out of you? Did you ever deal with the T-Rex on Super Nintendo in Jurassic Park? Because I fucking did, and it still haunts me. I still think about it. I still see that brown Tyrannosaurus Rex fucking drop-kicking me out of the forest. I'm like, what is going on with this game? That game is crazy. I wonder if I'm ever going to be able to play it again. I wonder if it's on the Switch Online thing. I doubt it, but maybe it is. That'd be really cool to revisit that game and see what the hell was going on. Anyway, so again, don't be afraid to drop a comment on Spotify. You can do that. Let me know what your scariest movies are, scariest enemies, scariest video games. I'm in the mood, baby. It is October. We're literally in the middle of October as I'm recording this, so I am just primed up for horror. I'm watching horror movies, playing scary games, and it's a blast. I love this time of year. Just can watch movies, get snuggled up nice and warm with a good blanket and a good snack. Get fucking stony baloney and just watch something and get terrified, get engrossed in it. It is awesome. So I highly recommend watch some horror movies during October. Tis the season, so do it. And play some horror scary games and stuff like that. And there we go, everybody. Another episode down. Thank you so much for listening. You the best. You want to be even more of the best, though? Make sure you're reviewing and sharing this podcast around with whoever, your friends, your family, enemy, why not? Share it around with everybody. And like I said, don't be shy to drop a comment. Leave a comment on Spotify. I have a YouTube channel, GamerGX Videos. The link is in the description. You can go over there. Follow along, subscribe, please, and thank you. I am still on the number of the devil in subscribers, 666 subscribers, so I would love to. I mean, I love that number. It's so cool, but let's get some growth going up in here. So subscribe, please, and thank you to the YouTube channel if you haven't already. Drop a comment. I upload all these episodes to YouTube, so if you want to watch them, there isn't much for video, but because I don't see the point in recording my face while recording this. Is that something people would want to see? I don't watch podcasts to see the podcasters talk. Like, I generally have it. It doesn't matter. You can listen to it and watch it any way you want to. So if you want to watch it on YouTube and you would like me to add in a face cam thing, I think I can do that. I have one, but it doesn't matter. So drop a comment on YouTube. You can do that as well and all that great stuff. And in terms of episodes we got coming up, I'm thinking there could be a Battlefield 6 episode. We'll see where that one goes and how much longer I'm going to play it. And I want to play the campaign and all that stuff. Hades 2, definitely going to be doing the Hades 2. Look for that on Halloween. I am really hoping I am doing I'm kind of getting a backlog of these episodes done, so I give myself some extra time to play Hades, make sure I get that done. Really aiming for October 31st. It's a Friday, so it's a hell of a sweet day to have Halloween. And so that one will be incoming for sure. Rhythm game, still sitting there. It will happen at some point. Now I'm in the October mode, so I'm playing other stuff. Don't really have time to add in more rhythm games to my play time. But other than that, there's going to be more episodes, more lists, more content, of course. So make sure you're following along and sticking around with the GX Plus cast. And yeah, that would have been a good spot to end it right there, but I'm just going to keep rambling on and make it a bad ending. So anyway, thank you so much for listening. You the best, and we'll be back again with some more GX Plus cast.